take great pride in talking about players like yourself that were self-made. The lunch bucket game, as I like to say they are. They just come to work every day. It's a blue-collar mentality, and it's necessary. That's the only way they're going to make it that way. That's it. And we've always embraced those type of players. I think this city embraces those type of players. I think Larry would agree over the course of his career writing about guys like that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that some of the top stars are like that, too. I think Brian Urlacher is a perfect example
Brian, I would say even Lance, because of, you know, he was sort of, he wasn't drafted high. He was third round pick.
Yeah, not happy about it.
He was not happy, and he still's not happy about
That's
it.
Right.
You know, he's used that his whole career. If you talk to Lance about what happened with him and as a high schooler, you know, he wanted to play more as a running back and didn't get that opportunity because, you know, they wouldn't play him. Well, he wanted to quit the team. His mom told him, no, you're going to finish. And that's where he's been doing his whole career, is sort of having to prove people wrong and, you know, himself correct, you know. But the Chicago is that – that's the reason I still live here, you know. Chicago is that kind of place. It's a – if I had gone to another team, I probably would not have gotten the same opportunity. You know, I probably would have been a camp body. This is a guy who could play.
You would have moved
whatever.
Away after your career. Here, you want to put roots in the Chicagoland area because of the support of the fan base, the organization, and the other guys you played with here.
Exactly. I mean, I love the city. The city's great.
Sorry to interrupt. I want to also ask you about, okay, so you come in, you prove yourself, you make an NFL team, and then the next year they say, okay, you're playing on the other side of the ball.
You see the smile?
What was that like? I mean, that was your natural position. You wanted to play there, or what was your opinion of that?
When they said that, I said to myself, that's it? Yeah. Okay, that's fine with me because, I was playing against the competition the year before. I knew the competition here. No disrespect to any of them, but I knew that I could beat out anyone they put in front of me. I heard a former coach of mine in Detroit, Sean Jefferson, same kind of player, self-made, not drafted very high.
And a receiver's
coach, played for 13 years.
Right.
And I heard him say this to us one day. He's like, the difference between myself and those other guys that they tried to replace me with was that guy better be willing to die a little bit. If he's not willing to die a little bit, he can't have my job. So I had sort of the same mentality when media came to me every year, how are you going to make this team? How are you going to make this team? You can go back and rewind the tape. It was always, my answer is always, if I do what I do to the best of my ability, I'm going to make their decision hard.
But there's a portion of the guys that are standing in the same line as you.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want to have anything to do with special teams.
No.
That's where you always earned your money and your keep. Because when you come into the locker room on training camp and you look at that special teams list and your name is listed number one in one of those special teams, you know that you have a better chance of surviving than some of those guys that don't have that desire.
I was told that my first year, the only way I was going to make the team was to make it on special teams.
Right.
Tobe looked at me, and he was always straight up and honest. The next year, he looked at me and said, you know the only way you're going to make this team is you got to be the fifth receiver on this team. And I said, okay, that's easy. You know, and I wound up being third receiver that entire year. And then it transitioned to different positions throughout my career. But at one point when, you know, it wasn't having a great year. I was having probably my best year in 2008, but it wasn't a great year. And I didn't play to my own capabilities, to my own expectations. And that was kind of hard for me. But towards the end of the season, we were having trouble filling some spots on special teams, and then I was also losing reps and all that other stuff. So I looked at him one day, we needed the number two on kickoff, and I said, let me do it. I'll do it. You know, I can do that. And he looked at me and was like, really? I said, just put me out there.
Right.
And I never left from that point forward.
Special teams coaches love guys that volunteer. I tell you that. That's one of the things that they look forward to because they know they got a player. How can they use him? Where are they going to use him for his best? That's a great thing to do as volunteer to a special teams coach.
Well, you know, you look at a guy like Sonoris Perry this year, same similar situation, tryout guy. You know, he blew out his ACL in a game against Syracuse in his junior year, so that probably knocked him out of the draft. But he had speed. And mm-hmm. so now he's almost 2 years removed from that, so I expect him to be maybe at full strength next year. But he's got 15 special teams tackles. So he's finding a role. You know, he's finding mm-hmm. a role on this football team. Starting out, hey, I can be the kick returner first and a third mm-hmm. string running back here. But those type of guys you circle and you watch, see where they go. You see what happens mm-hmm. next for guys like that. And you clearly were one of those guys.
Yeah, man, I appreciated every moment that I was out there. I did the best that I could with what I had. What I was asked to do, I was going to do it. And I was going to try to do more than that.